Are you really gonna pretend to be extremely excited about Minecraft Steve getting into Smash Brothers? Are you really gonna be that white guy that stands there and does the little weird soy face thing? Oh no.
Okay, so my soy face is when I'm shitting my guts out. What is someone who's not allergic to soy? What's their soy face?
It's actually, I hate using the term because it's used by like internet right wingers and stuff, but it's the white dude reaction face that you see in YouTube thumbnails more often than not. It's the dudes with their mouth open comical like this. I just sent you a link in the into Telegram fuzz, but okay. Like the dudes with their mouth open doing the PogChamp face, like, oh my god, oh it's Minecraft Steve, holy shit. Uh-oh, Minecraft Steve is in video game.
I am surprised that I'm sucking a dick face.
Yeah, several of them have their mouths open in a way it's just like the dick is just missing. So, needless to say, this is Southpaw's episode 476.
Surprise, Steve's... oral.
Yeah. Little did we know that today would start out with Minecraft Steve being put into Smash. Truly, our world has changed, and not for the better. So I'm Saverin.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Fuzzwolf.
Unfortunately, Shiva is dealing with an outage. Last week, we just didn't record. And this week, Thursday, really snuck up on me. Like, you said, Fuzz, like, you just realized it was Thursday. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, time has become this meaningless blob.
God, I know.
I went to the grocery store today, right?
Yeah.
And had to get some more Allegra. And I couldn't remember if it had been 1 week or two since I last purchased it. And I was like, I think it's been 2 weeks, but I'm not sure. If I can't,
I hope they don't shame me.
Well, it'll just say, oh, you bought it on this date, you can't buy it yet. And I'll be like, oh well. But I was like, you know, what is time anyway? And the pharmacy tech was like, ha, I know, right?
Yeah.
It's not just me. But yeah, I'm here. I'm awake. I've eaten food.
I have to.
You know, we're here to podcast. We got some topics. And it's not all about the horrors of our world. Some of it's just stupid. And some of it's funny and fun.
Yay!
You know, and we do have some fandom stuff to talk about in the, like, y'all, please chill. Please, for the love of God, chill. But hey, starting out this week, we are going to talk with some good news, some uplifting news of a man who posted to Facebook a pic of some soldier with Alamy stock photo, Nick Ellingford, posting, warning to BLM and Antifa. Once you've managed to defund and eliminate the police, there's nobody protecting you from us. Remember that. So, you know, he's an internet fascist who's posting tough boy shit on the internet. And there's an article from September 21st, 2020. Oregon man shoots self in groin while showing off gun in supermarket checkout line, cops say. An Oregon man is on the mend after police say he accidentally shot himself in the groin while flaunting a concealed handgun at a Lincoln City supermarket. The mishap occurred Sunday night when Nicholas J. Ellingford, 29, blandished his Glock 9mm in the checkout line at McKay's Market on US 101 and tried to show it off to a buddy, according to the Lincoln City Police Department. Ellingford mistakenly pulled the trigger as he stuffed the piece back in his pants, police said. The bullet tore through the gunslinger's groin and exited his thigh, just barely missing the man's femoral artery. The gruesome wound required Ellingford to be airlifted to Legacy Hospital.
Yo, check this shit out, man. I'm gonna blow my dick off.
Yo, you know who else is a dickless wonder? This guy. Pop.
God. And yeah. This is at least the second article I've seen like this.
Oh, yeah.
The other one was the people in a gun group who were making fun of the people who are promoting trigger discipline and safety by taking a loaded gun with the safety off, finger on the trigger, and having it pointing at their groin and taking a picture of it. And there was like a bunch of people that like took pictures of it. And then the inevitable article came out of one of these guys accidentally shoots self in dick while
I love good news.
While saying trigger discipline is for cucks, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm really surprised that I didn't see any of those. Like, there was a couple people that had made mask holsters for their guns, and I'm let's point that gun directly down into my chest cavity If that goes off, that bullet is going to pop off my clavicle and into my ribcage and ping pong around, turning me into jello to own the libs. Fucking, and honestly, I mean,
God, the
I encourage it.
On a mask.
They're like, if you're going to make me wear a mask, I'm going to show off my gun.
I'm going to wear one with a taser so that I can be taser face.
Yeah, there you go. You put one where you, like, if you kiss your enemy, it zaps them. That way it's not gay. You can kiss anybody you want if you have a taser on your mask. So that was a good
news. I'm thinking of that one video, but yeah.
It is really one of those things, though, that when we talk about the masks and how people are just total dumbasses about it, there was a Twitter thread I saw earlier this week about how people just freely ignore the things they don't want to deal with. Mm-hmm. Like, I admit, I went into a racetrack earlier today, the convenience store, to get myself a soda because I had to go run some errands and I was a thirsty bitch, needed their caffeine. And there was this chick who just blithely walked in with her hair did and no mask, and everyone just kind of stared at her and gave her a wide berth.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what's also really weird, like, they don't let you do a refill of your own with your own mug anymore.
Well, yeah.
They also have the food out, though. Like, they still have the ice cream stations with the food just there, and they have their hot pizza things with that you just reach in and grab, and they have the pizza slices just sitting there. So it's like, you don't do this, but people can still come in and breathe on these pizza slices. That's a little inconsistent. But if you're
not good,
if you're getting Quick Trip taquitos or racetrack, whatever, you are taking your life into your own hands regardless anytime. And I've done that many, many times and only gotten food poisoning a few times.
You didn't need the lining of your stomach. Just shit it right out.
Yeah, you know, I'll just regrow it. You know, that's how it works, right?
That's right, yeah. You know, you can grow your lungs back if COVID takes them.
So the thing I'm talking about, though, is that Twitter thread from Dr. Tansy Rayner Roberts at TANSYRR. She is a author and podcaster, co-host of Verity and Galactic Suburbia. And it's really interesting because this is something I didn't know, but is related to stuff I did know. So, okay. I know it feels deeply unreal and bizarre that people are wandering around blithely denying we're in a pandemic, but humans do this. I just, example, started casually researching green dye for a murder mystery I'm writing. The Victorians were so obsessed with emerald dye, made from arsenic, that they happily kept wearing it even though doctors all told them it was poisonous, even with newspapers publishing pictures of skeletons in ball gowns, even with reports of hands blistering from wearing green gloves. What was the alternative? Wearing dull colors? Some people believed it was fine as long as you did not lick the fabric. It was not fine. Not to mention the factory workers making the damn clothes who are exposed to the arsenic constantly, despite open sores and blisters on their hands. One factory worker, Matilda Schur, not only vomited green, but the whites of her eyes turned green. Eventually, the Ladies Sanitary Association stepped in, commissioning a chemist, Hoffman, to investigate. He found that an average headdress had enough arsenic in it to poison 20 people. Wallpaper, paintings, it was everywhere. And still the British government would not ban the substance because they had to protect the economy. One thing I've learned from my recent inhaling of the She Done It podcast is that arsenic and other poisons were just everywhere in Victorian times, all the way up to the 1920s or 30s. Not just in frocks, but it's a fascinating insight into humans choosing aesthetics over safety. Thanks everyone for enjoying the thread. I've just ordered Fashion Victims, The Dangers of Dress Past and Present by Allison Matthews David to learn more on this fascinating subject.
Mm-hmm.
And check out her murder mysteries under the pen name Livia Day. So reading her promo tweets is thanks for reading it. Because green dye, I didn't really know about that. But like, I still remember like toys from the 1950s that had just radium in it. Like home chemistry kits. You could get, you know, whatever minor radioactive stuff.
Oh, and glow-in-the-dark watch faces back then were radium. There's the interesting story of the radium girls, who are women who were working in the factories making these in the 40s, because they were in the factories making them because all the men were off to war. And they started reporting that they were getting sick, and they're basically getting high rates of cancer. And they were just getting sick and dying before they would get any kind of restitution for it. And like, I think there was like a reckoning like decades later, you know, when they're like, my grandma died of fucking cancer because of this, but Yeah, that's been written about a little bit too, but the Look Up the Radium Girls is a really interesting story.
Yeah, and there was an article I found because I knew more about the radium stuff because my parents were old enough to have had some of those toys perhaps. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading articles in my early life of, you know, chemistry kits and having chemistry kits, but were well past the point of having, like, hey, here's just a chunk of uranium, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, radium was discovered by Marie Curie and her husband Pierre in 1898. 1903, they got a Nobel Prize for it. 1911, she got a second one. But people got radiation madness, as it were. They were like, ooh, it's the hip new thing. So it's like, by 1910, radium was manufactured synthetically in the U.S. Before the effects of radiation exposure were well understood, radium ended up in a lot of crazy places for its purported magical healing properties and its glow-in-the-dark novelty. It was in chocolate, radium chocolate, made with radium water, and that was in 1936. And water, radium water crocs like the Revigorator, stored a gallon of water inside a radium-laced bucket. Drinking the water was supposed to cure you. In toys and nightlights, in toothpaste, in cosmetics, there is a brand called Thoradia, which included powders and creams that promised to rejuvenate and brighten the skin and also make you glow in the dark. In heating pads and suppositories, I would not want to stick...
Oh my god, yeah, stick a radioactive pill right up your ass. Oh my god.
But wait, it gets better. Also for the treatment of impotence. Before the days of Viagra and Cialis, treatment for impotence took the form of radioactive bougies, wax rods inserted into the urethra, and even athletic supporters containing a layer of radium-impregnated fabric. A popular alternate treatment called the radioendocrinator was a booklet that contained a number of cards coated in radium, which are worn inside the undergarments at night.
I don't know what that'll do for your erection, but I can tell you one thing. You're just going to make you sterile as fuck.
Well, it turns out the radio endocrinator inventor died of bladder cancer in 1949.
That tracks.
So, you know, in health spas, radium and radon health spas took off in the 20s and 30s, where women and men alike could stop in for a long, relaxing soak in radium mud, rinse with radium water, and leave soft and glowing. Thanks to the thorough application of radium cream. Radium mines and caves also doubled as healing rooms if patrons were willing to travel. At least one radium spa is still in operation in the U.S., as well as a few in Japan and Europe. That's... radiation is not magic, as much as Fallout would like you to think that way. It also reminds me a lot of, like, x-rays. When those first came out, people would have, like, x-ray parties and be like, wow, look at this, we are standing and getting these really cool photos of the interior of our bodies and not thinking a damn thing about what its effects were.
Yeah.
Like, humanity gets a hold of a thing and goes hog wild for it, and then only later goes, oh no, that was terrible. Whoops.
Yeah.
And yes, in the last part listed in this article on mental floss is in clocks and watches, and it does mention the radium girls. Mm-hmm. Between 1917 and 1926, during the height of radium's heyday, the U.S. Radium Corporation employed more than 100 workers, mostly women, to paint watch and clock faces with their patented undark luminous paint. As many as 70 women were hired to mix the paint, comprised of glue, water, and radium powder. Workers were taught to shape paintbrushes with their mouths to maintain a fine point, and some used the material to paint their nails and teeth. Oh, my goodness.
You know, honestly, I can't blame them, because, like, you're bored at work, and you're just like, ha-ha, look, I made my teeth glow. You know, that's the kind of shit that humans do, because it's entertaining. But, like, it wasn't their job to know that shit was going to cause cancer.
Oh, but wait. While U.S. Radium's labor force were all but encouraged to ingest the mixture, management and research scientists who were well aware of the danger carefully avoided any exposure themselves.
They knew that they knew. What fuck? This is the long history of, you know, some people having the information and fuck all the poor people. It's like, what do they expect, not to get poisoned? We're paying them, right?
Yeah.
You know? Just, God.
Yeah, I'll include this article in the notes because it, I mean, it's not a super in-depth article, but like the Radium Girls case was settled in 1928, but it was still used until the 1960s. But new cases of the syndrome came to a screeching halt. And the former U.S. radium manufacturing plant is now a Superfund site because we have poisoned the shit out of that ground and we'll never be able to use it again.
The other thing I noticed, it was either in that article or it was in a related tweet thread, was like how slow politics and lawmaking and regulations move. Like, apparently, we knew in the 1920s that asbestos was bad for you. but we didn't actually outlaw it till like the late 70s. So it's like 50, 60 years. Everyone knows this shit is bad, but it's going into housing, it's going into sound booths, it's going into all kinds of stuff.
I mean, it's asbestos. It doesn't burn. It also causes cancer, but it doesn't burn. So, like, there was house shingles that used it. There was siding that used it. Insulation. Yep. Like, they're still finding places, I'm sure, to this day, that are, like, old sites that haven't had the asbestos moved out. And anytime it is found, it's a lengthy replacement and cleanup process. So, like, they're sure there's unscrupulous developers that are just like, yeah, you know, we're going to pretend we don't know that's here.
Well, there's Dallas High School downtown by Pearl Street Station. Oh, yeah.
The one they were going to convert to condos or whatever? Or did?
It's all done now, but it was built in 1908, and it was shut down in the 90s. And the first thing they did was they did asbestos abatement in there for weeks. There was guys in there in like the full body coverings and everything like that, getting rid of all the dangerous shit. Right now, it's like the ground floor is like an architecture firm. There's going to be like a gift shop or a restaurant in the basement that we're talking about. And I think there's some other companies on like the second floor. I'm not sure if they're putting any apartments in there or not, but like it's some businesses have already kind of moved in. It looks pretty cool. I walked around down there after some of it was opened up. But yeah, that was just done like last year or the year before.
Yeah, so, there's places here in Dallas, I'm sure, older that are still poking around.
Yeah.
But yeah, the people letting other people get hurt in the name of business is profits is not new or unique, but always kind of galling in hindsight.
Yeah.
The fact that the British Empire was like, we can't stop people from using arsenic green because it would hurt the economy. And I have to say that these cloth makers and manufacturers are very big patrons of mine. Therefore, I cannot hurt their business.
Yeah, you know, that is so relevant today when all the politicians are like, we can't hurt the economy in order to give the world time to deal with a pandemic. So we're going to do these sort of half measures. Like, restaurants can open 25% capacity or 50% capacity. Or in Florida, where the governor just said, fuck it, and reopened everything. 100% capacity. Restaurants, go nuts. Don't
official
need no masks.
Position of the state is, if you get it, you're a cuck and deserved it.
Yeah, like, you're not even really exaggerating, like, some people have actually said, if you get COVID, it's your fault. And it's like, what the fuck? You don't do that with anything else, you know? The only kind of cancer that people still blame people for is lung cancer, which they shouldn't, because cancer just fucking happened. You know, I had a great-grandfather on one side of my family that smoked a pipe every day into his late 80s. And they put him in a nursing home, took his pipe away, and he was dead 2 years later. Not of lung cancer. But just this tendency to blame people, like, that's just really... no.
Yeah. The United States loves to victim blame.
It really does.
You know, and we could go into the deep pathology of, like, conflating wealth with morality, and that people that are poor because they... deserve it because they're morally failing. If they weren't bad people, they would have money.
Yeah, like, it's really nuts to say that, like, someone is poor because they're lazy and they're lacking in work ethic, but at the same time, they're working two or three minimum wage jobs and still can't make ends meet. And it's like, they're doing a lot more physical labor than certainly I am, or any other white-collar worker, and definitely any more than any CEO or those fucks on Wall Street that just move numbers around and don't actually produce anything in the world.
Yeah, that's one of the great perversions of, like, the American evangelical prosperity gospel heresy. And, like, anytime that pops up, like, my parents are like, actually, in fact, fuck you over it, because they're some of the hardest working people I know, and they're always skirting the fucking razor's edge. And so it's just like, maybe there's some structural issues here. Nope, it's not just Jesus. Like, I actually talked to my mom here a little bit before the podcast, and they're like, they're still busting their ass, and then unfortunately they're still having to do some shows. Like, they're taking as much precaution as they can, but they gotta have money.
Yeah.
And so, like, my mom's talking, she's making a couple hundred new pieces. I think since the last show, she's made, she said something like 70 pieces of tie-dye a week or something like that. So she's been busting her ass. And like this coming weekend is Weatherford, so
that's like, when you told me, I remember years ago, that if they don't do it 1 year, you lose your spot, basically.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sure that there's probably a little bit less competition for it right now, given the state of things, but you know, it's one of those things, they have to do it or they lose this spot, and that's their like one monthly reliable event right now. So it's stressful for them and for me. But, like, I understand that we're all suffering under capitalism here, and with the government completely unwilling to give us any sort of assistance, some of us got $1,200 once, and we're all on our fucking own, and so we've got to do whatever we can to help each other out.
I saw a commenter, this was before the presidential debate on Tuesday, and I saw a comment earlier this week, and one of the commentators was saying, this was before it started, how surprised he was that Congress hadn't done more to push out another stimulus check to everybody. It was like getting this close to the election. He's like, I really would have expected people to, for them to like be able to be like, hey, I put money in your pocket. I'm trying to help you out. It's like kind of a no-brainer for politicians to vote on something like that to make themselves look good. That he was honestly surprised. And I'm just like, they're just, the Republicans are planning on stealing the election, so maybe they don't need to give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, we're all strapped on this ride, you know, it's like we're the ones riding the nuke down at the end of that movie, except we're not waving our hats and going yeehaw, we're just gritting our teeth and hanging on best we can. Like
Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, I was like, I've never seen the movie, so I couldn't remember.
I saw it once, but it was years and years ago.
You know, no fighting in the war room.
Yeah, like
it's memed on, but I've never actually seen it.
That's one of the classic lines.
In unrelated news, did you know that The Rock was executed by the true warriors of the deep state, and his body double is now running around? All of Hollywood has been executed in secret sites and or is in Gitmo, and it'll only come out after the election that all of Hollywood has been cleaned up and rendered free of perverts, but they're all clones now, so you won't notice the difference.
They're robots. It's fucking Westworld, right? Yes.
So this is one of those things that it's related to the QAnon shit. There's always something new every week. There's a lot of articles on it because it's a global issue to a degree. Like if you're online, if you're on Instagram or you're on Facebook, the odds are you've seen this kind of shit. Hopefully most of you who are listening to this are smart enough to not get suckered in and to realize that the idea of a global network of vampire pedophiles is a little far-fetched. The rich do get away with a bunch of evil shit, I'm sure, but vampire pedophiles who suck the blood of tortured children is a little bit out there. And it is very interesting because this type of thing, like, you know, this all goes back to like blood libel, which was first found in like the 1100s. But even the notion of there being like secret underground tunnels full of children where the rich torture them and harvest their adrenochrome / blood / whatever, like it predates that like the 70s or 80s. Like, there is nothing new under the sun when it comes to these types of conspiracy theories. Everything's a rehash of everything else.
Yeah, this is satanic panic.
And the thing is, I was listening to an episode of You're Wrong About Today, episode 100, about killer clowns.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember back in like 2015, 2016, there was the people being like, ooh, there's creepy clowns appearing and what's the deal? And there were articles about it. But
yeah,
lo and be fucking hold, in this podcast episode, they're talking about the notion of creepy clowns trying to entice children into their scary vans with candy, like happened 5 years before it was ever written. And people try to blame scary clowns on Stephen King, and no, this was, like, manufactured by some children in Boston, I think it was. And I'm like, holy shit, nothing is new at all. It's just a different weird mutation of some preceding event. Like, we've talked about satanic panics and the like on this show because, like, everybody, like, we are in the grips of multiple weird moral panics, both in and outside the furry fandom right now.
The child trafficking thing, that's another one. Michael Hobbs from You're Wrong About has been going and doing multiple interviews because he wrote a big article on Huffington Post about how it's basically a hoax. Like, the numbers that you hear are all vastly overblown. When they say crazy shit like 800,000 children a year in America are trafficked, and it's like that's like something like one in every three children is trafficked or something. It's completely ridiculous when you actually look at it, but you know, it makes for a hell of a headline, and it gets beamed around on Facebook.
The article that I saw today was also written by Talia Lavin. It's titled QAnon Blood Libel and the Satanic Panic. It was on New Republic. And it talks about, like, the history of blood libels, going back to this case, William of Norwich, a young boy found dead in the woods in England in the year 1144. And that, like, that was started as, you know, oh, the local Jews stole this child and killed him, drained him of his blood, and used it in their matzo for their dark Jewish rituals, and how it's evolved over the years, over the past 856 years, and is still a thing. It's amazing. And, like, even if, like, the perpetrators shift, the same core story is still being told. And in the 80s, you have the satanic panics of, like, the suppressed satanic ritual abuse in a daycare that was completely made up but was exacerbated by the police listening to the one person who started this and then writing it out very credulously and sending a letter to every other parent.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all these other people were like, did this ever happen to you? And the children, seeking their parents' approval, said, oh, yes, I remember this thing. And that, too, involved secret tunnels, blood sacrifice, people draining blood, being forced to kill animals. It was all ridiculous, and yet people still went to prison for this for years. I think the last person got out in, like, the mid-90s.
And there's, like, a 3- or 4-part series on You're Wrong About called Michelle Remembers, which is the name of a book.
Yeah, I remember. I listened to that one as well. You're Wrong About is a really fascinating show.
Yeah. Michelle Remembers is really good, too. And it ties into this about this girl that supposedly remembered shit under hypnosis that had happened to her as a child. And it is all this kind of crazy crap. And the thing, though, like with QAnon, I'm like, I remember, you know, years ago in the grocery store, and, like, you're waiting in line, you pick up a copy of Weekly World News, and you flip through it, you're like, oh, Bat Boy, that's amusing. You know, and you just, like, look at that kind of thing, or News of the World, or Weird News, or something, is sort of an interesting thing, almost like The Onion. But nowadays, like, well, not even just nowadays, but at least right now with QAnon, I'm like, wait a minute, people actually believe this stuff. You know, they believe that the whole thing, like, I was watching something the other day where they were talking about this. And, oh, it was that documentary about social media being awful for you. It's on Netflix. Uh-huh. And they were talking about how QAnon led to the guy with the gun showing up at the pizza parlor to get into the basement, even though it didn't have a basement. And, you know pizza text trained by Hillary Clinton.
There was
ordering
an article.
A pizza was ordering a child.
Last week, there was a woman who decided that she was going to rescue her son from the pedophile cabal, who just so happened to have her kid taken away because she's a crazy person.
Awful band name, by the way. I wouldn't put the word pedophile in your band name.
Yeah, it's a terrible band.
Gives the wrong impression.
But it was an article where a woman who tried to get a bunch of QAnon people together to help her literally do an armed raid on a foster care facility because her kids got taken away because she was a crazy parent and related to the QAnon stuff. And she got caught. There was a dad in up in the Northeast that had his two kids in the car and was live streaming while he had kidnapped his children and screaming and begging Donald Trump and Q to help him. Like, this is a deeply, deeply diseased portion of our society that is getting absolute brain rot. And the source of this is that because even though they're fully in charge, they have their evil fuckheads in control of the government, nothing is going better for them. Their lives still suck. Yeah. They've only gotten worse in the past 4 years. So clearly, instead of these people that we idolize are incompetent losers and actually not even metaphorically evil, it's because there's a pedophile vampire deep state cabal.
Being funded by George Soros.
Yes, and, you know, it's he who funds Antifa for $5,000 a protest now. Did you know that Antifa has gotten a big pay bump? It used to be they were being paid $1,500 a protest / riot, but now it's $5,000 because George Soros is of terrorism.
You noticed earlier you said, like, you know, the perpetrators change in the made-up stories, and yet at the same time they don't, because the whole George Soros thing is still anti-Semitic driven, and that was the same in 1140.
You know, because George Soros is a wealthy Jew, then therefore, you know, it all ties back. Like, you don't have to dig very deep to find just weird anti-Semitism in almost all these conspiracy theories.
Did you see, there was a couple months ago, there was that, I remember if he was a congressman or a reporter or something, but like some right-wing site did an article on him, and in the photograph, they photoshopped his nose to be larger.
Oh, it's a super common thing.
Yeah, fuck.
Like, a lot of the character designs that we have, like, oh, trail back to ancient illustrations of, like, ooh, this, you know, this evil gremlin merchant that just so happens to be a Jew is drawn like this. And so, like, we have a lot of our conceptions that, in a lot of their ways, are just, like, this is this really ancient other. And we have this weird cultural memory of, like, this is what an evil shifty person looks like. This is what a good person looks like. And it just so happens to be, you know, the statuesque white man is always the good guy. And the dude with the big nose is always the bad guy.
It's totally a coincidence that the hook-nosed goblins are the bankers in the Harry Potter universe.
Wow. Let's think about that.
I mean, not that J.K. Rowling is a terrible person or anything.
Yeah, or the only Asian character's name was, like, Cho Chang, and the one Irish witch's ability was blowing things up, and
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like, there's been plenty of discourse about some of the really, like, bad character designs, but, the only Irish person mentioned in all of the Harry Potter books is a guy who makes things blow up.
I'm surprised, they didn't just name them IRA. IRA.
Trying to find it because it was just one of those things where it's like, yeah, sure, that fucking tracks. Why not?
Yeah. Wow.
But in any event, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, let's think about this. But it's just weird how we've gone a little bit more sci-fi with our current conception and current crop of conspiracy theories. So now, like, you know, we have the 5G mind control dust and the COVID bats and the, you know, clones or the imperfect clones. Like, God, part of it was like, you know, why did Hillary Clinton do this thing and this other? It's like, oh, it's because she's been dead and this is an imperfect clone that only needs to live for like 12 hours before it expires. So they only put crappy memories into it.
I love the meme picture making fun of this, though. It was a Photoshop of an airplane with 5G towers mounted on the wings that was spraying chemtrails that were full of COVID vaccine.
Yep. Well, don't you know? I mean, the thing is, like, yeah, we've got Soros, but see, now we've also got Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the other big boogeyman. You know?
Yeah.
He's the one that everybody else has to worry about. Because, you know.
Yeah, it's weird. Steve Jobs doesn't get any shit, though, and he was hardly a decent person, you know?
Yeah, you know, he's kind of dead, so it's hard for him to be the current bugaboo.
Or is he?
Oh, no. You know, the truth
is, I'm putting forth my own, you know, call it Aqualon, that Steve Jobs is really behind the scenes and pulling the strings of what I don't know, but something.
His head in the jar is colluding with Disney's head and Nixon's head, a la Futurama. They can go and take over Cuba for the blood of Elian Gonzalez. That's a deep cut from old Robot Chicken.
Oh, God.
But yeah, like, conspiracy thought is very common, and it is unfortunately very contagious in a way. Mm-hmm. Because, like, even if you know it's patently stupid, it can still stick in your head and make you think about the conspiracy theory even when it's not on the forefront of your mind. Like, to get into some other, like, fandom-level discourse, you know, the whole pause or sus thing. Like, this evolved because, like, we had the...
Are we talking about pause or tattoos of pause right
We're talking
now?
About the tattoos of pause, but it started a few weeks ago with the pause and maws or sus thing, remember?
Yeah.
So, like, that evolved because a fursuiter who seems to be just, like, a prickly asshole who has worked their way to the top of the fursuit-making scene and has themselves essentially a studio and a business and has made hundreds and hundreds of suits, seems like they might be kind of a shitty person. And as is the case, many times, everything seems to be embellished a bit because, like, looking at this call-out post, it was really a lot of interpersonal drama and the art and the person in question being a bitch. And, like,
I want to caveat that I have not read the whole 18-page Google Doc. Apparently, she is accused of being abusive, of being a pedophile, and of being a zoophile.
But the fucking thing is, man, short of any actual goddamn proof, you can say that about any call-out post at this point. Unless you've got some goddamn solid proof, I can't believe you.
Well,
because people throw this into every call-out post.
Saverin, I have to tell you something, though. Asking for proof is sus.
It's so fucking common at this point. You just, like...
Paws, maws, paw tattoo, asking for proof. That's sus.
The paw tattoo...
Also, liking Digimon or feral artwork.
Oh, no. My genderless digital construct monsters are also on the list. I can't fap it to Renamon. Was that honestly part of it?
What, Digimon and Pokemon? Yeah, remember all the stupid polls that showed up on...
Oh, that was Pokemon.
...Furry Online a while ago? Well, they're the same.
Yeah, they
are. I know I'll get, like, tons of hate for that, but it's an animal creature thing that you partner with on your team, and according to at least one YouTube animation, they are incredibly horny for human cock.
But the thing is, it's like... With all these accusations, like, hell, it goes back to, like, the QAnon shit. Their favorite fucking thing is to say that anybody that says QAnon is stupid, well, oh, you must be one of those vampiric pedophiles. It's losing any sort of actual weight. And the accusation of someone being a zoophile because, oh, they liked feral or they have, you know, a dog cock on their dog persona, it's fucking meaningless at this point. And it's something that should have meaning, but... When you water it down to be just anything, you know, your character is not a hairless ape with a regular-ass human penis and is, in fact, a human, everything else is sus, you might as well just leave the fucking fandom, right? And the paw tat thing? Apparently this artist has a paw tattoo on her chest, over her heart, in one of the fucking most common white girl tats ever. Like, the sheer amount of people that have paw tattoos...
Well, the one I saw them complaining about was her friend, or maybe former friend, had paws on her shoulders. And so here's the thing. I do want to put out there that they didn't just say, I want to be accurate when we call people on their bullshit.
Yeah.
So they didn't just say all paw tattoos mean you're a zoophile. They specifically said it depends on the placement. So if someone has paw tattoos on their shoulders... or paw tattoos on their hips, that is indicative of where a dog would put their paws while mounting you. That's the logic behind it. Now, here's the thing I want to point out, though. is that the Twitter account that posted this is the new name of the Twitter account a while back that made a shitload of spurious zoophile accusations against, like, a ton of people with like, no evidence at all. With, like, they were in a photograph at a house party with someone that there was proof that they were a zoo. That means they're friends. That means they're zoos, too. And this person changed their Twitter names because there was no fucking reputational capital or trust in that old name anymore. So they changed accounts, and now they're saying, if you have a paw tattoo here, it means you're a dog fucker.
The problem is that
I would take what they say with a Lot's wife pillar of salt.
The problem is, though, Fuzz, is that even though we are striving to be accurate in terms of, like, what they said initially, the horrible fucking mutation that is furry internet Twitter discourse made it so that any sort of paw tattoo at all made you sus, right?
Isn't that just people like us that are complaining about how stupid it is? Or is
no.
it actually...
Okay. If you, right. I literally have Googled this a couple times to see if it's still even going, and it has to a degree, people being like, well, I have a paw tattoo of, because I had a memorial tattoo for my dog. Oh my God, do I need to cover it up because these people are going to say these things? Or, oh, I had a thing today because as I was driving home, I saw some, you know, middle-aged white lady on her minivan had a little heart decal with a paw on it. And I was reminded of this stupid fucking discourse that we're talking about. And I
hope you rammed them into the ditch, Saverin, because fucking zoophile.
Because I realized that I hate the person who started this with all my fucking being.
What about the soccer moms that have the sticker that's I and it has a bone and it says dogs?
That's just funny. Or it's the bone shape. It's like, I heart my dog. That, you know, that can be, you could take that into some ways, but it just, everybody is looking for something to stab other people with. And the fact that we've gone from paws and maws are sus to, you know, once again, we're having weird discourse about, you know, fictional creature genitalia. Does your werewolf have a human dick or a dog dick? It's a werewolf, but it's a werewolf. Ooh, that's something else we have to talk about, Fuzz, because apparently they're having the fantasy genitalia discourse over in the monster fucker area. And I'm like, do the monster fuckers all demand that their tentacle penises also look like humans?
So here's the thing that I just want to say. When it comes to furry, and it's like some furries have human dongs, and some furries have animal dongs, and some furries have a hybrid, some have a sheath, some don't. And none of that is indicative of whether a person is a zoophile or not. And then you look outside the fandom, and there was literally the publishing world was shaken up by that big New York Times article about werewolf erotica and the Omegaverse, and apparently one of the big features of these Omegaverse stories is, ta-da, nodding. So you don't have to be a furry to know what a knot is, how it relates to wolves, how it relates to sex, and specifically how it relates to sex between anthropomorphic wolves and humans. Like, nodding, monster cocks, fucking all this shit is super popular in the erotica scene outside of the fandom. This is a similar kind of moral panic, like, a couple years ago, Amazon started to, like, really come down on a very popular area of non-furry erotica is incest porn. And I'm like, it's not my bag, but it's like, I think it's because it's taboo, people are attracted to the dark fantasy of it or something, but incest and non-con and dub-con, which is having consensual sex during a dubstep concert, monster sex, all that stuff is actually super popular outside of the fandom.
And the thing
Yeah.
Like, if you go to Amazon.com and just look for dinosaur erotica, there's a number of authors who specialize in writing things like Dinos Are a Girl's Best Friend, Having the Dinosaur's Baby, Chuck Tingle mm-hmm. in his famous Space Raptor Butt trilogy, and things like Ravaged by the Raptors by Amber Stevens, or uh-huh. Taken by the Pterodactyl, parentheses Dinosaur Erotica by Christy Sims and Alla Branwyn, or mm-hmm. Ravished by the Triceratops. So fucking furries thinking they're the hottest, weirdest shit out there. We're pretty lame by a lot of standards outside. Like, there are some real kinky people out there. Like, if you want to see some, like, really out there stuff, go look at people like Rubber Asylum on Twitter, who's, like, into hardcore latex bondage shit. That stuff, like, weirds me out, and I'm like, yo. So, like, don't actually go look at that, Mom. Just please don't.
I just had a hilarious and awful image in my head. Like, a Tyrannosaurus Dom fisting somebody with their tiny wee arms.
Oh, God. Monster Obsession, Bound by the Brontosaur by Vivian Ash. Like, people doing weird shit with sex is just the nature of humanity. So, like, trying to find the secret witches or the secret zoos in the fandom because, oh, there's a tat, or, oh, their persona looks like this, or this, that, and the other. All you're doing is going into this weird-ass purity spiral that's only going to end up with the people doing this burning out and hopefully leaving the fandom. Because, honestly, I'm too old to give half a shit of what some 20-year-old thinks about my character's dick and or pussy. Like, I don't care. I've been in the fandom longer than you've been alive. Shut up. You do not have the right to talk to me. You do not have the right to judge me about my character's appearance. And you certainly have no right to tell me what porn, within reason, is cool or not. Okay? Stop it.
Now,
worry about yourself.
I think we could agree that, like, we don't want zoophiles in the fandom, but it's the false witch hunt of just accusing everyone and their mom of being what you don't like.
The thing is, though, if being in the fandom is a safer outlet for them, then they're going to be in the fandom anyway. Like, in an amorphous fandom like this, with no central authority and no, like, membership badge, you can't exactly tell people you can't be in our little group if they're not, like, known quantities. If they're just out there enjoying the porn, who's going to fucking know until somebody gets up in their business, right? Like, it's just...
I am fairly damn sure that the number of zoos in the fandom is vastly eclipsed by the number of zoos who are just bored farm boys in rural areas and think that cow is looking kind of pretty right now. Because that's a real fucking common thing.
It really is.
Chickens, sheep, pigs, like...
South America, it's a big deal.
Just different animals. I mean, you have the whole donkey show thing, and it's like some of that's urban legend, some of that's serious or real.
Go back to the Kinsey stuff. You know, yeah. I'm sure it was a large proportion of rural dudes were like, well, I mean, it's the only non-related chick in the area, just so happens to be that cow, and she's giving me the look, you know. And again, this is stuff that's well outside the furry fandom. Honestly, like, all right, yeah, don't. Just fucking don't. But you know what? Like, going around making random accusations of people doesn't help anybody. Especially if you're not, like, don't have any fucking hard proof. You're just stirring shit. You're sprinkling some extra accusations on top of this person's an asshole. You know, someone being an asshole, that sucks. But if you really want to ruin their life and try to take away their income in the time of COVID, you add these extra accusations to really, you know, amp it up, to multiply the force. And that's my feeling on this, is like, you know, looking through that file, they seem like an asshole. I wouldn't get a fursuit from them, but I'm not ever going to plan to get a fursuit. But
I'm glad I'm not in that scene, because, like, it seems like a lot of them turn out to be assholes. There's, like, at least two major studios that are, like, known to be shady or known to have shady people involved with them.
It's a highly competitive, very lucrative market.
Apparently every other furry YouTuber is some kind of piece of shit, too. At least whenever I see, like, a call-out post or something, it's either a YouTuber or a fursuit studio.
I mean, more often than not, if you're a furry YouTuber and I've heard of you, it's not for a good reason. I mean, right. Any YouTuber in general, for me, right?
Yeah, same here. Like, I don't know much from YouTube. Like, I know, like, two or three names of YouTubers that aren't shitty, like H-Bomber Guy.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I hear about a YouTuber, it's PewDiePie said another racist thing or something like that.
YouTuber Boogie2988 had a feud with somebody, and that person showed up at their house, and now there's a picture of Boogie2988 holding a gun at the person who showed up at his house.
Okay, they're both fucked for that. Like, yeah. Don't stalk someone in real life. I mean,
but again,
actually,
like,
he's not really fucked for that, because if someone stalks you at your house, you know, holding a gun on him is kind of reasonable.
I think he did quote unquote fire a warning shot, which is an illegal discharge of a firearm. But you know,
yeah.
But yeah, the whole thing is
that guy's shitty for whole other reasons. But yeah,
is okay to just wrap everything up, because we're just going old people. Complaints at this point. If someone's a shitty person, let people know they're a shitty person. You don't have to fucking embellish it and make stuff up and like try to amp up the sustenance so that you can get that sweet, sweet internet capital. If someone's an asshole, their actions will speak for themselves. You don't have to make up any accusations whole fucking cloth. And when we have this issue of trying to jump at every shadow to find the secret devils in the fandom or in just regular life, you know, going at the, you know, pedophile cabal running the world according to the QAnon people, or, you know, every fifth person in the fandom is some sort of secret double zoo, you're only driving yourself insane and making everybody else dislike you. Like, honestly, I'm to the point where, like, if I see these call-out posts and I see the person trying to capitalize on it, I just fucking block them. Because, like, all right, this person, well, I'm not going to buy a fursuit from them. Okay, whatever. But you, for trying to, like, gain social capital off this, fuck you too. That's just how it is. I'm too tired for this shit.
I followed someone who was a con chair of a new con that was starting up, and I was interested in the con, so I was like, I'll follow the con chair. They then proceeded to post, like, three call-out posts within 2 weeks, and I was like, I'm going to unfollow you now.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that I've blocked that same person for the same reason, because
I'm like, I don't care, even at this point, I don't even care if it's valid. You know, I'm like, you got that much fucking drama in your life. There's a good chance that you're kind of a shitty person also.
Yeah. Like, I just feel that I'm too old for that shit. Like, and I would hope that people would put themselves above this, because as I said online, like, these people are not worth my respect or my time. And if someone's shitty, I go, huh, they're shitty, and I'll block them. But I don't need 67 goddamn pages of every single microaggression, and this person was mean to me once, therefore they're an abuser, or trying to claim that they're grooming you despite the fact that you're 21 and they're 30. That's not how grooming works, you dumbass. You know,
was that really a thing in there?
Yeah, that was actually part of the call out post that is at the core of this entire conversation, is that someone was claiming that they were being groomed despite the fact that they're in their early 20s and that the supposed perpetrator in their 30s. It's like, that's not how grooming in the actual sense works.
Right. Like they should have just left the thing from, I heard it was like a 16-year-old or something in there. Like they should have left that. That's legit, but you know what's interesting about this, though, is that you have one person that, like, compiled this big, long article from anonymous sources about things this person had done. The person that was doing the paw tattoos in these places are sus, and attacking the perpetrator's friend was a totally different person. Like, they just sort of saw drama, went, ooh, rolled up in there, and was like, hey, you should look at their former friend, because nobody fucking said anything about that person in the first place. And they just sort of, like, loomed in from the shadows and was like, here I am on my new account. Let me make out this random person to be a zoo. Because they have feral art in their gallery, and they have paw tattoos.
God. It's so frustrating to see. It really is, because there's no, you can't exactly stop it, because this is all online. I mean, the most you can do is if anybody ever came up to URL talk about this, you can tell them to shut the fuck up.
But like, yeah, when you see the posts from people saying they're a Zoo IRL and they want respect and they have the Zeta symbol in their Twitter bio and they back that up with zoo-related posts and shit like that. Yeah, that's a zoo. You can totally fucking block them guilt-free, you know? But if someone's not out there doing that, and there's no long history of them posting on FA about their shit that they've done, and, you know, all you got is a fucking tattoo and their taste in furry art, I'm sorry, you're gonna need more than that.
Yeah. But yeah, like, even today, you know, I once wanted to get a paw tattoo, and now I'm not sure I ever will because of the current stupid discourse, frowny face. It was a reply to me when I made that post earlier today about the paw heart symbol. It's like, even people who are not necessarily in the fucking furry fandom are seeing the dumb shit we're up to and going, oh, like, this person's a brony, or was a brony. She might have evolved into a furry, I don't know. But it's just like, yeah, I mean, the dumb discourse that we bring into the world doesn't just affect the people in this fandom. It also spreads around to other fandom spaces and poisons that as well. So, you know,
yeah.
I think at the end of this conversation, be mindful of the shit you spread and the things you say, because making wild-ass accusations like that, even if a lot of people go, that's stupid, you're going to have people that take what you say and run with it. So, you know, be mindful of what you're putting into the world when it comes to, like, accusations of real serious topics like this.
Like, let me ask you something real quick, Saverin. If this is sus, if I get a tattoo of a wolf cock on my human cock.
That just sounds really painful.
It'd be the first cock tattoo, but, yeah, probably.
You ever seen
one years ago, like the guy that got the dragon tattooed all over his cock balls, whole pubic area?
Yeah, I have seen that one because, ouch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the dragon is awoken. It's like, hey man, your dick's looking kind of green. It's like, yeah, it's a tattoo.
No, it's just, it's radium.
Oh no.
It glows in the dark. Doesn't work anymore, but it looks cool.
Yeah. So, like, when I say also about, like, the fandom thing, it's like, we have the genre of Monster Girl manga stuff that's kind of having the same type of discourse where, like, you sent me a link where it was, like, some T-Rex-san, you know, and it's this Monster Girl getting fed a cookie by this guy, and that's sus. I mean, you know, then I guess then they saw Monster Musume or, God help them, interspecies reviewers. Like, they just caught fire because their brains overloaded at the sheer sin. Fucking weird-ass Puritans. What can you do but block them on sight?
I used to say the kids are all right, but some of them are...
not doing so hot.
Yeah, I think all this COVID isolation has maybe not been good for people.
You know, it has killed my hope in humanity, but it's also killed any last fucks I had.
Yeah.
So, speaking of people that have never had a fuck to give, yet still maintain their shenanigans, you know Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman, Fuzz?
I recognize the name Jacob Wall. I have not heard of Jack Berkman.
So Jacob Wall and Jack Berman are the people that they set up and hire fake political stunts for right-wing causes. These are the people that tried to say that they found an actor who agreed to say that Elizabeth Warren had injured him during a kinky sex role play.
And oh, therefore, those
guys. He's right, the guy that was like, Ted Cruz is in fact the Zodiac Killer. And they do dumb political stunts to get screen caps and spread around right-wing Facebook. And
yes, the entire reason I voted for Elizabeth Warren
is just dumb stunts. And they finally have caught some felony charges in Michigan because they had made a series of fake robocalls trying to dissuade people from voting by mail.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say they made fake RoboCops, because RoboCop takes place in Detroit, so they take RoboCop authenticity really seriously in Michigan.
Yeah, and in this particular case, this is really weird because they identified themselves. So the text of what they said is that this is to make a tailor for Project 1599 civil rights organization founded by Jack Berman and Jacob Wald. Mail-in voting sounds great, but did you know that if you vote by mail, your personal information will be part of a public database that will be used by police departments to track down old ones and be used for credit card companies to collect outstanding debts? The CDC is even pushing to use records of mail-in voting to track people for mandatory vaccines. Don't be finessed into giving your private information to the man. To stay safe and be aware, vote by mail. So they were targeting black communities and Hispanic communities to try to dissuade them from voting by mail by saying that the government will have all your information. Implying the government already doesn't have all your information, especially right. when it comes to voting.
Yeah.
But they caught multiple felony charges. They said that 85,000 calls were believed to have made across the nation, 12,000 residents in the 313 zip code received the call in Detroit, and that similar calls also blanketed urban pockets of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, and New York. Each faced four felony counts in Detroit, including conspiring to intimidate voters in violation of election law and using a computer to commit crimes. So, hopefully, they will be arrested and tried and face prison because fuck those guys.
Yep.
But these are the guys who've been pulling all sorts of weird ass hoaxes for years and years and years. And it finally took them to 2020 to catch charges for this, which is kind of amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
But the government's going to have your voter information, y'all. The government's going to know where you live if you vote by mail. Despite if you're voting by mail, you're registered to vote at that location and the government knows where you are. And also you pay taxes at that location, so the government knows where you are.
Yeah, right. Like, you're fucking registered to vote. They have your address. It doesn't matter if you do it by mail or you go in person. If you're registered to vote, the government has your address.
I mean, that's kind of the point. To participate in the system, the government, you have to be in the system, you know?
Right.
So there's some good news to cap out your shit for the day. Because, honestly, politically, we've got, like, a month until the goddamn election. And I want to encourage, make sure everybody, for the love of fuck, just vote, okay? I don't like Biden. I think he's going to suck. I don't like having Kamala Harris as VP. But you know what? I sure as hell like them a lot more than another fucking 4 years of Trump. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up dead when they come to get me in and put me in a camp. I'll at least try to take out one cop for you, my listeners. But...
Yeah.
You know, the deadline for voting registration is coming up soon. Early voting will begin in Texas soon. Our fuck-ass governor has just said he's going to, quote-unquote, via emergency powers, shut down voting mail-in ballot drop-off locations to one per county in an effort to suppress the vote in majority Democratic areas because Houston had, like, four locations and now they're going to only have one because they're very desperately trying to steal this election. So please vote early and... I promise to also vote early in person, and I will stab anybody that tries to stop me. I am done fucking around.
I wonder what his stated rationale is for that. Because he's not
voter fraud and election security, and I'm saying it with fucking quotation fingers. Like,
yeah.
A federal judge told the Trump campaign that, no, you can't stop mail-in voting in Montana. Fuck you. Because that's a vastly rural state.
Yeah.
And... that expanding voting by mail means that more people vote, and more people vote means that Republicans have less power because they are a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really want to make sure the Republicans never gain power again, you get in a bunch of Democrats who expand voting by mail. And that's how you – if we did something like the Australians where you have to mail your ballot in or face a fine, there would never be another Republican in power in most of the country ever again.
Yeah.
Full fucking stop. Their only play is racism and voter suppression. And we are now at a goddamn crisis point where at this point, I just want to survive the next 60 days and hopefully make it into 2021. That's a real weird place to be, right? I'm not making long-term plans here. I just want to fucking survive. And being put in this weird sort of like survival mindset is harmful for my mental health. But there's really nothing I can do.
Yeah, I was talking with Tyrion about that and how he noticed, some things in my personality and, depression's up and down. And it's like we basically determined that I'm in a survivalist fight-flight kind of paralysis, because between COVID and the political situation in the country, all of our lives are constantly in threatened. or
yep.
And like the best case scenario is that this election is a blue tsunami, Democratic blowout, Biden wins by a landslide. And even if that happens, Trump is going to contest it. He's going to try to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And, like, because a lot of people are voting by mail, some people have already voted by mail, and those can start being counted. But some states have laws that none of the ballots get counted until after Election Day. And there are other states that delay it for different reasons. So, and a lot of people are voting by mail this year because of COVID, especially in the Democratic states who have passed more mail-in ballots because they're not fucking idiots that hate voting.
And that's why the USPS has been getting fucked with.
Yep. So there's a chance like it's not going to be all said and done on the evening of Election Day.
Oh, no. And it's going to be the rest of 2020 is going to get worse. That I can promise you.
Like the, I believe the deadline is that December 10th or December 14th is the deadline for when the states have to like actually send their electors, their electoral college representatives have to like go and actually make the votes. And Trump's trying to fuck with them too. Is that the Republicans are already trying to push laws that they're not bound by the state's popular vote or that they can overturn. And shit like that.
Yeah, so
there's all kinds of shady shit going on. But, you know, if Biden wins, like, you're still going to have this situation where Trump is going to refuse to leave the White House. And people like the Proud Boys that he shouted out in the debate and other right-wing types are, you know, they're going to do something.
Yeah, I mean, even if Biden wins in November, it's going to be an extremely dangerous period of time from then on until, like, some sort
of... There was an actual FBI report about that that talked about while Trump was on TV saying that most of the violence was from the left, it was literally posted a report from the FBI. It not only said that the violence is coming from the right, but that the time between Election Day and Inauguration Day in January is a flashpoint. That, like, if something big is going to happen, if there's going to be something that sparks the Second Civil War, it's going to happen between those 2 days. And that's kind of fucking scary. Like, I'm not going to breathe easier until Biden takes the oath of office.
Unfortunately, that's why I've been trying to do lighter topics and, you know, try to stay away so much of the political discourse, because goddamn, everybody knows we're in a goddamn nightmare. It sucks, and it's affecting everybody's mental health, and it's not going to get better anytime soon, and we just have to keep hanging in there. So,
on a lighter note, really though, apparently Britain telegraphed for ages that they were going to, like, break a contract that they made with the EU, and then when they did, the EU is now suing them, and Britain's like, you can't do that. So,
oh, whoops.
They are further away from civil war than we are, but they're pretty dumb. Boris Johnson is not smart.
Yep.
That is depressing.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting sued by the EU, and they're also the source of, like, what, 33% of their food? So it's like, huh, yeah, that sounds great.
God, they're such a... Jesus.
Yeah, they really, really shat the bed there. So let's shift off this topic, because we're actually already at like nearly 80 minutes on the raw recording. So let's talk about our one cool things of the week. And we had did get an email to southfallscast@gmail.com, which is cute in that, like, I always wanted to know how you three got into and found the fandom. For me, it was when I was 6 or 7. It was Disney Drama and Hood. They got it started for me. Then I learned about furry art as a teen. Now that I'm older, I'm into furry art and comics, especially gay. By the way, can you do a trans episode, Jake? One, sure. We just need to get some guests on that if we wanted to do a trans episode. I know a couple people that are in, like, the fan chat that could probably speak to that pretty well.
People in the fan chat. I know other people that... I don't know if they're in the fan chat, but that they do listen to the show, so...
Yeah, it's like, we know plenty of trans people who could be...
Thanks to the fandom having like several hundred times the number of trans people that the rest of the population does. I feel like I know every fucking trans person ever.
It's like, wow, you know, when you can, when the whole fandom is based around having an idealized body that reflects your true self, that there's a lot of people that experiment with their gender identity and expression and all that fun stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should schedule something like that here soon once we can, you know, get everybody's schedule aligned again.
I'd like a follow-up, actually, like, because I'm curious, because I'm like, it's a big topic. Like, what do you want us to talk about in relation to trans? Like,
I mean,
transitional process, how you realized you were trans.
I mean, hell, just the experience of being trans in the furry fandom, because, I mean, I'm sure it's not all gumdrops and rainbows, even in an extremely queer space like this. Like, we've gotten, you know, plenty of issues of people, like, fetishizing and whatnot, even in the community. So, but we also have artists that make really good, fantastic trans positivity art that I really like Glow Possum. They make some really good stuff that's very obvious, like body positive and trans positive stuff. And then you got people that are just straight up fetish art, you know? So
I don't remember their names, unfortunately, but there's a trans mask artist whose character is a hyena, and he draws a lot of art of that character and a lot of trans positive art like that. And he's on FA and Twitter. I don't remember his name right now, but I'll have to check out Glow Possum, though I'm not familiar with their work.
Yeah, I'll send you a link. They do good stuff. But as for me, It literally was Robin Hood. Like, I got the internet, I wanted to know more about Robin Hood. Did Disney do anything else? And in the early internet, I found the Orlando Furry Archive in VCL, and I sure found some foxes and some gay unicorns. That was generally my introduction to the fandom, even though I was one of those kids that always loved the anthro-animal stuff that Disney put out, like The Lion King and Robin Hood, though I was never a Lion King furry.
So for me, I had an affinity for wolves starting around the time when I was around 11. That also morphed into watching every piece of werewolf media that I could consume. So when I finally got online, I was about 21. And the first thing I did was I did a search for werewolves. And of course, I found some what are now called Therians, but I found some were-related websites in that community. But I also found Wookiee's picture of a werewolf howling at the moon, and you could see, like, a little back sack in there. And that was around the time I was like, I like this, but I don't know why, because I still thought I was straight. So I found the were community and the furry community around the same time, and I basically started in the were community and then drifted over to the furry community. Because the were community is very wrapped up in the spirituality of it, feeling that, you know, their soul was a wolf, or they had a wolf inside them, or that they had been a wolf in a past life and stuff like that. And I realized that wasn't really speaking to me, that for me it was more the aesthetic. Werewolves are really cool, werewolves are really hot, and because I had a bit of that monster fucker in me, I guess, and that's more where the furry was more about the appreciation of the aesthetic of animal people than the spiritual side of things, and that's where I ended up.
Hey, that's valid. I mean, you know, for most people, it's just an aesthetic thing. There's, for some people, it's a spiritual thing. And, you know, if that's your deal, cool. It's not mine, but whatever. I'm old enough to realize that it's not my deal, but I'm not going to, like, completely discount it. Because, again, not my deal, it's yours. Whatever makes you happy. As for the one cool thing for me this week, The Good Place Season 4 is now on Netflix. The entire show is on Netflix now. It's an extremely good, sweet show. I think you should watch it. And also, my one cool thing is Battletech, the 2016 strategy RPG based in the MechWarrior universe, is also extremely fun and good. I've been streaming that this week, doing some strategy games, and am pretty deep. Well, actually, I'm not that deep into the story. I'm kind of grinding. But, you know, it's a fun strategy game, and Panther is very enthusiastic that I'm playing it because he played it and really enjoyed it, and so he is very eager to provide assistance and tips and ideas, and it's just a nice thing that we get to do together.
Cool. My one cool thing is that today is October 1st, which means that it is now Furry Book Month. Every year since about 2018, 2017, I don't remember when it started, October has been designated in the fandom as Furry Book Month. So hashtag Furry Book Month on Twitter, hashtag Furry Writing. I am using the coupon code FBM2020 on both for Planet and Bad Dog Books, where you can save 10% off of everything in both stores. So just enter the coupon code at checkout. So that's a little plug. But also look at the hashtag on Twitter, because there's several other furry publishers, and there's also a lot of self-published independent authors out there, and a lot of us are doing something special for Furry Book Month. Also, as part of Furry Book Month, the Furry Writers Guild is doing the Oxford, online furry writing convention. That's on the weekend of the 17th. I don't remember if it's 17, 18, or 16, 17. It's it's 17, 18. It's the it's the Saturday and Sunday of that weekend. So, you know, look out for that. But yeah, support furry books and all that stuff. There's, like I said, just look up the hashtag on Twitter. There's a lot of people out there. We also put out some new stuff. Put out Cinderfrost issue 3.
Cool.
And also The Silk Sash, which is also by the same artist. That's the one with the horse goes to the Lion Kingdom, and they present him with the pleasure slave, and it's this wolf twink. It's pretty fucking hot. So
I'm not aware of it, but cool.
Oh, dude, you should check it out. It's on both of these are on their FA. So I'll link it to you. It's good shit.
Okay.
Yeah, so Furry Book Month is my one cool thing and my plug for the week.
All right, yep. FurPlanet.com, BadDogBooks.com, all important links. All right, so at this point, let's wrap this shit up. So you can find the show on Patreon, patreon.com/SouthPawsCast. You can find us on Twitter @SouthPawsCast. You can find us, send us emails and tell me that I'm talking out my ass and that I really need to engage in more witch hunting on twitter.com by going writing emails to southpawscast@gmail.com. And really don't do that. I'll just probably delete it, honestly. You can find me on Twitter @SavinDrake, where I post things about, like, Adam having a cute moment or pictures of my mechs or, you know, regular ass life. Find me on Twitch @twitch.tv/Savarin. I have been streaming like 5 nights a week at this point because, well, it's something to add structure to my life. And
what are you streaming lately?
So I streamed Hades last week.
Oh, okay.
This week I've streamed Mech Warrior. I might
so what's Mech Warrior? I've heard we talked about what Control was, but tell me about Hades. Tell me about this one.
So BattleTech, it is a strategy RPG around the Mech Warrior universe where you are, well, there's a storyline, and then there's just a career mode where you are the leader of a mercenary company, and you make decisions on your pilots and the mechs and their fittings, and you travel around, and you fight enemies for glory or money, and it's a management simulation and a strategy game all in one, because you have to make decisions on the financial health of your company while also not dying, while also winning battles. So there's multiple layers to it, and it's really compelling. I enjoy it a lot. Plus the fact that I've been playing MechWarrior games basically forever, and this is a really good modern iteration of it. Also, one of the lead directors was a trans woman that I follow on Twitter, so that's cool.
Very fun cool. Fact. I just remembered something that you and I discussed this just last week because we were like, fuck it, let's just chat for an hour. But we were supposed to discuss Spiritfarer on our next episode.
Oh, I actually didn't put any more time into it. I'm sorry, Fez.
Well, no, I haven't either because Tyrion's been out of town with the only with the Nintendo Switch. So I was like, we can go ahead and talk about what we have done so far, or like what our impressions were. A fan of the show bought me a copy of it, and that's why I started playing it. It's really pretty art style. It's very chill. Like, it's pretty, I guess it's pretty slow moving. but like a lot of beautiful backgrounds and stuff like that. And I'm not very far into it. I'm just getting to, I think, the second island. It's Hemingway. It's like the second island. Is that right?
Yeah.
You remember? Yeah.
You go and talk to the raccoon, and the deer calls him a trash panda.
I haven't talked to the raccoon yet. I'm just arriving at Hemingway. That's where it stopped and saved. But yeah, like, I've done stuff up to that.
Because I haven't been streaming it, I didn't really put more time into it, but it's not a very good stream game because it's very slow paced and chill, mm-hmm. which that's not great for streaming when you're not like super used to just making up conversation at all times. It's hard.
It depends, you know, what you're into and what your purposes are with games. You know, if you're looking to just chill out and relax, then yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm here to play video games and have fun, and you are welcome to join me while I do so.
Yeah, and if you're looking for something more streamable, you probably want a faster-paced game. That makes sense.
Yeah, or at least, you know, wow, I'm making these mechs explode.
Also, this isn't... I guess this is topical right now because we're entering spoopy time of the year, but I also bought Night in the Woods for my Switch.
Yeah, and Night in the Woods is now on Xbox PC Game Pass, so you can pay like $10 and get access to play that game and a bunch of other stuff all Netflix style.
Oh, neat. Yeah, I was like, I want to play it in the... Because Ajax asked me why I bought it, because I'd already bought it once on my PC. And I was like, I think with video games, I prefer to be able to sit on the couch and play them on the TV like I did when I was a kid.
That's
so,
completely valid.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck it, I don't mind spending $20 on it, because I'm like, oh, it'll support the devs, because it's an indie game, and I want, you know, the devs behind it to
I mean, you can follow Scott Benson on Twitter.com about the ordeals of his cat, Sid, you know?
Oh, no. How.
But Sid's got better. There's this very long thread where they adopted two kittens after their old cat died of old age, and how Sid, one of them, was extremely sickly, and like they had to go and have like a polyp removed, and it was like the size of a quarter from this tiny little kitten. And since they've done so, he's grown and endured, you know, and like he did some shirts like Sid endures 999 lives, and like was doing art and stuff to sell shirts to help pay for the vet bills of this little cat. And aww. So like it's this very normal Twitter feed of like them also going out and they're taking their nature walks in Pennsylvania in the fall, and it's very pretty.
Oh, so, nice.
You know, they're supporting indie devs and paying for their shit is extremely good, while pirating things like Cyberpunk 2077 is totally fine because it fits the aesthetic of the game. Just so you know, there's my ruling on that. All right, Fuzz, shall we wrap it up, though?
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
An hour and a half on the raw recording, and I'm going to have to edit all this.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter if you want, at FuzzWolf. I'd rather you just follow my company account, which is at FurPlanet, which I'll be tweeting and retweeting about various book information and book deals and the writing con. And, you know, if you're interested in all that stuff, I also occasionally will retweet if I happen to notice if one of the artists that we're working with is streaming or running a sale or whatnot. So it's a decent account to follow for news and info on the fandom. I retweet big con announcements sometimes also. I mean, this year it's all been, we're sorry our con is canceled this year, but, you know, it is what it is. Things will be normal again. That's it for me, really.
Okay. Well, kids, on that note, good night.
And wash your hands.
Yes.